Ruffled Beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals it's Thursday, 10 p.m. and time for So What's Your Story? Always live and the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling. Right here on listener-supported 90.1 KPFT Houston, I am your host, Rabbi Laura Sheinkoff, sitting here with Jacob Reiner working the boards. How are you, Jacob?
I am good tonight. How are you doing, Laura?
I'm very good.
Good.
Every week we bring you stories from the fine people who make this city such an interesting place to live. So, What's Your Story is hosted by myself, Greg Audell, Warren Hollerman, Hank Rubicek, and we are live at KPFT Houston headquarters, bringing you storytelling sponsored by the Houston Storytellers Guild. So Thursday, we have a wonderful show for you tonight, but before we go any further, I have to remind everyone that we are in the midst of our winter fun drive, and I hope folks will call in or write or email or somehow feel motivated to show your support for this program and all of the original and important programming that KPFT makes possible. We can give to KPFT. You can give to us by calling us at 713-526-5738. And one of our loyal volunteers will be thrilled to talk to you about donating any amount. We'll make it so easy. We'll even take $3.34 a month, which is 11 cents a day. That is so much less than Starbucks for one day. So we just started co-hosting this program. But before November, it had been the sole responsibility of the one and only Hank Rubicek, and he is somewhere here tonight. I don't know where he is. He's probably
I'm right here listening to you. Doing a great job, Laura.
You're like Oz.
I'm here. Yeah, really. Right. Yeah, right. Pay no attention to that man behind the screen.
I can't see you.
Pay no attention. Well, come on in. Come on in. Well, listen, speaking about come on in, we have to thank Jose Alvarez for his very generous pledge, and we're waiting for people to give us a call at 713-526-5738 or to get online, in line, or even if you're in a lineup at kpft.org, go to donations and then choose our show, So What's Your Story, as the one that you earmark for your donation, and we will thank you for life. And you know what? For those of you ridiculous enough to have forgotten flowers and chocolates, you can get your lovey-dovey KPFT membership for the $20 a year.
Show us the love.
I mean, come on, isn't that worth it?
Yeah, show the love. That's what you need to do. And you know what? I was thinking about all the things that cost even less than $3 and change a month, like your iTunes, Starbucks. So you can think of this as sort of one giant frozen drink with a lot of straws. It's a public service. You can call us here at 713-526-5738 and help keep this little piece of public radio heaven in this big, big city alive. KPFT has made it possible for a lot of different individuals to be heard. And I do think of it as paying for public space, like any of our beautiful public spaces, Herman Park or Discovery Green or any of those things. A radio station that is open and free is a really important thing to have in a community. So speaking of our community tonight, I am pleased to have one of my co-hosts on this show, Greg Audell, who is our storyteller this evening. And Greg, just recently, fresh from his win at the Moth Story Hour Slam past month, is going to tell us a story that really encapsulates a lot of the things that he does as an adult for children in this community.
To be in the guest seat for a change.
Yeah. Yeah, but look, you look good in the guest seat.
Thank you.
That's right.
I'm glad to be your guest.
Yeah, I am too.
Wait until the whoopee cushion go off.
Oh, my God. This is what happens when there are three cooks in the kitchen, right? Well, Greg, actually, besides just sitting in the guest seat, you actually are an attorney. You have a day job. You have a respectable profession as an attorney.
Well, he's an attorney. I didn't say it's not a respectable profession.
It's close. Right. It's I don't know. Is it more respectable than being a professor or a rabbi or less? I don't know.
Oh God, I don't know.
He feels like the grown up to me, Hank. To tell you the truth, I don't want to burst your bubble.
Yeah.
But he serves on the board of Houston Writers in the Schools, And he speaks to young people about the importance of role modeling and the value of having mentors through an organization he started called Grout 101. And, Greg, I know you've been involved with children in this city for so long. I think you told me that you actually designed and directed the Houston Volunteer Lawyers program homeless unit for a few years. And I know you directly dealt with women and children who were abused. And so before you tell us your story, I wanted you to just give us an idea of how that background kind of how you became interested in this kind of work.
Well, I was fortunate. I was always interested in the issue of homelessness, but it wasn't anything I had ever done anything about. Mm-hmm. And there was a job posted, and I interviewed with the director of the Houston Volunteer Lawyers Program, an amazing woman who has helped thousands upon thousands of Houstonians, Alice Wilson. And truthfully, I was completely unqualified for the job. They wanted a lawyer or a third-year law student. I explained to them I would never under any condition go to law school.
Oh, gosh. Never say never.
But at the same time, the mission of what they were trying to do to get lawyers to volunteer their services to help the homeless community was really intriguing. And what was exciting to me was that they'd been given a grant, but they were still trying to figure out the best way to form the program. So mm-hmm. for the first year, I got to study the issue of homelessness mm-hmm. and was surprised to find the vast majority of our homeless fellow citizens are women and children.
Right.
It's not who you think of. And so we realized quickly that that was where we could best put our resources. Mm-hmm. And I would go into homeless shelters and interview women and present their case to a committee, and we would decide, you know, would a volunteer attorney be able to substantially improve their situation?
Wow.
We had over 600 volunteer attorneys just in our program, I think, mm-hmm. and helped a couple of thousand people per year.
Wow.
And also in that work, I realized, you know, that in the homeless shelters, there was so much focus on the crisis that often kids got lost in the shuffle. So in addition to my own life experience, I realized even more the great need that children have mm-hmm. just to see positive role models in their life, because many don't see them in their own home.
Right, right. And homeless children kind of bring up all of our weaknesses in society. Whatever weaknesses we have in society, they disproportionately affect children, of course, worse.
Absolutely. And you know, the phrase the homeless, that kind of bothers me, because it's mm-hmm. not the homeless. It's homeless kids. It's homeless women. It's homeless men. They're real people. Every single one of them were somebody's child. Every single one of them have amazing potential. But everyone needs to be part of a larger community to help them reach that potential.
Right. Right.
And, you know, if you don't mind me throwing in the segue for the pledge drive tonight,
yes.
you know, everyone listening is part of the KPFT community. And, you know, that's why we're asking you to call in tonight yeah. and help us keep going. You know, be a vital member of our community, an active member of our community.
Right.
At 713-526-5738.
Or online.
Or online.
That's right. Or if you go to Facebook, and let's say all you can remember is So What's Your Story, our page will pop up, and that will also take you to KPFT and to where you can make a donation. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
All rivers run to the sea.
They do. They do.
At least in the social media area. So you went into shelters and sat down with women who were, you know, in crisis, basically, trying to figure out how to parent children. And, you know, I guess I want you to talk a little bit about why you think, how old are you when you did that?
Like, I was 23.
Yeah, that's very young. I mean, I don't think a lot of 23-year-old men say, hey, I think I'd like to go into the homeless shelter and talk to a single mother about.
It took a few months to get used to.
I'm sure it did. Was it difficult for you to hear those stories, or was I know that in the end you said it was gratifying, but
the first month or two it was difficult, but you know what was more difficult was when it became less difficult. Mm-hmm. When I knew someone's story before they sat down, because they were so similar. And I would often say to a woman, I would say, let me guess, you grew up in a home where your mother was mistreated. And invariably they said, how did you know?
Yeah. Right.
You know, and again, you know, I would stress, and I'm not sure everyone would agree with this, but if they had children, I would say, you know, you're not the primary victim here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the ability to make some differences. Your kid doesn't. You know, your kid is the victim here.
Right, right. We always forget that, too. The kids, they don't vote. They don't, you know, pay bills. They don't, they're not visible to
And they have organized. To witness, they have to witness what goes on in front of them. And they, they have no escape.
Right, right. Now, I wanted to, you know, my growing up was like the refrain of my growing up was my mother saying, someday you should have a daughter and she should do to you what you have done to me. But I was so fortunate that I grew up in this nuclear family, and there were a lot of people in and out. But basically, there was a lot of structure and a lot of expectations. And I know that you didn't have a similar background.
Well, I think throughout most of human history, children have been raised in communities with aunts and uncles and grandparents. And if there was a problem within the family, there were people to step in. And I don't think that's how we live anymore. And it certainly wasn't how it was for my family. My relatives were scattered all over the country and, you know, were uninvolved with the things going on in our life, which made me realize that as an adult, I wanted to step in whenever possible. When there's a kid in my life, I feel responsibility to be there. And I always say to people, if they want to show me pictures of a baby in their family that was born, I have a standard speech I give. I'm like, if you're telling me that this is a kid you're going to be involved with their entire lives and they can count on you, then I want to see that picture and I want to hear about this baby. But if this is some kid you're just going to send a birthday card to once a year, I really don't care.
Right. Yeah. So tell me about that, to lead into your story here about the importance of that, having that kind of continuity. I mean, I think you that is the kind of thing that you really don't understand the importance of until you don't have it or you become a parent.
Right, right. Yeah. Absolutely. When I was up to the time I was 12 years old, I think I had a pretty typical suburban life. My father worked for NASA. My mother was a wonderful reporter, and that's who I learned the joy of storytelling from, because as a little kid, I would sit on the floor while she would interview survivors of the Galveston hurricane. And I remember a woman talking about how her husband tied her and her children and himself up to trees so they could ride out the hurricane, and they did survive. Well, that's a pretty amazing thing to hear when you're 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
You know, and as with many families, my folks divorced when I was about 12 years old, and I think a clean divorce when kids are involved is like a unicorn. You know, you might hear about them, but I've never seen one. And I think the pressure put on single mothers, newly divorced, who expected that they were going to be raising their child with a healthy, active, involved partner, unfortunately is not reality for too many single mothers. And it certainly wasn't the case for my mother. She, my father and I never had much of a relationship, but following the divorce, I started spending more time with him, and my mother was pleased by this, but I didn't tell her that it was because he needed a friend. He needed someone to go to bars with. He needed someone to go to strip joints with, and he needed a friend. He was emotionally damaged. He had no friends, and I served that role for him.
Right.
And I also worked starting at 12, and, you know, I sort of kept my own calendar. I didn't go to school very often. I wasn't interested in it. And in those days, they were frustrated because I did very well on standardized tests. And so they passed me, but they didn't really know what to do with me. And, you know, again, my mother is a reporter and the single mom of two teenagers. She had to work some really intense hours. So I kind of lived on frozen pizzas and hamburgers. And I started drinking soda a lot then, because when I'd go to bars with my father, there really wasn't anything else to drink. And I started drinking about 3 liters of Coke every single day. I typically would go to bed about 3 or 4 in the morning. And that was my normal. And I do think, you know, and I hope this doesn't come across as sexist, but I think boys need men in their lives. And there comes a point when mom can only do so much. And what I say to people is, if you want to make a chocolate cake, you need butter, you need cream, you need sugar, you need eggs. And with those things, you can make a lot of great things. But if you're trying to make a chocolate cake, You need chocolate.
Right.
And that's how I feel about young men. They need men in their lives.
Right.
I couldn't necessarily describe it so well when I was that age, but I knew something was missing. And I knew life was a little bit too out of control. And when I was 14, I started attending the High School for the Performing Arts in Houston. It was about 25 miles from my house, and I became very fast friends with this fantastic kid who lived out in my area.
Mm-hmm.
And his father worked a few blocks from the school, so his father would pick us up and drop us off. You know, we would go the whole commute.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I first got to know him, I thought he was kind of a busybody. He was kind of a power freak because he would say things to my friend like, you know, what did you do at school today?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any homework to do? Have you checked your chore list?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, what is it with this guy?
Yeah.
And, you know, but I could tell there wasn't any ill intent, but it was just so foreign to me.
Right.
And one night, it was a school night, and for one reason or another, I ended up spending the night over there. And, you know, we came in, and there was dinner on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And there was meat and vegetables and bread, and we sat around the table and told stories and mm-hmm. talked about our days. And I thought, well, that's kind of quaint. That's cute.
Mm-hmm.
And then they told us to, the father told us to go do our homework. I thought, well, homework? I've almost never done homework.
Well, how old are you? You're like 15?
14.
14.
Yeah, I was 14.
Yeah.
And so we did our homework, and then we went and played video games. And that was pretty fun. And at 9:45, his father came back and he said, well, boys, he goes, you need to wrap it up. Lights out in 15 minutes. And to this day, I can't exactly describe what happened, but my eyes filled with tears. And, you know, we went in the bathroom and someone had put out a toothbrush with toothpaste on it. And that wasn't really part of my routine. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. And by the time we got back to my buddy's bedroom, I was sobbing. And I said, does your father act like that all the time?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what are you talking about? I mean, you know, dinner, homework, telling you to go to bed. He's like, yeah. I said, do you mind if I stay tomorrow night?
Yeah.
And so for the rest of high school, really, I had two homes, you know.
Yeah.
My mother's home was a wonderful place, but it was missing the one thing she couldn't provide, which was a father. And she wouldn't mind me saying this. I actually started plotting my parents' divorce when I was about 8 and picking out potential stepfathers.
Oh, okay.
But my mother threw a kink in the wrench because she realized at the time of the divorce that she was a lesbian.
Oh.
And I told her, of the men I picked, I was like, you know, they won't mind. She said they would mind.
They won't mind.
Yeah, yeah. So that was why I think I realized I needed to pick my own.
Right, right. And you're right, actually. And I think studies say that it's right around 8 is actually when especially boys need a male, some kind of male role model and vice versa.
Absolutely. Girls. And so I think single moms have raised the majority of us in America, and they do an incredible job. It's just that they need more, and it doesn't mean they need to get remarried. It just means they need to incorporate men into their kids' lives.
Right, right.
And again, community. That's what this is about. It's about a kid being a part of community. And if you're listening to us out there, please be part of our community. It's by calling 713-526-5738.
Yes.
If this story resonates with you, if any of the stories we tell resonate with you, please call in and let us keep doing this because we love bringing you these stories.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's so amazing that you were aware enough to realize what you were missing on some level, right?
Yeah, and you know, by the time I'd been there a while, it was amazing how comfortable I got. Their rules became my rules, their punishments became my punishments, and all of a sudden I started feeling like I was 15 instead of 35.
Okay, right. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And I also like the way you're, you know, you're right. There can be all kinds of families can be unconventional in all sorts of ways. So, You know, if this kind of storytelling appeals to you, you can also join us for the Houston Storytellers Guild, which meets monthly the fourth Tuesday of the month, and that's coming up at 7 o'clock at the Printing Museum, which is 1324 West Clay, near the corner of Waugh and West Clay. Plenty of parking, storytelling, and fun. So you can also check out the Houston Storytellers Guild website at HoustonStorytellers.org. Our show is truly unique. We devote a lot of time to each story, and we devote our time to Houston storytellers in particular. And you bring people in from every corner of this big city.
You know, and I think that's important to note that, you know, on NPR, which I love, I'm an NPR addict.
Don't be dissing NPR.
No. and it's just, but you're often going to hear different takes on the same story, different interviews with the same people. But I feel like with So What's Your Story, we bring people into our studios that you're unlikely to hear anyplace else.
Right.
And, you know, Laura and I and Warren, we all found ourselves to this hosting chair as guests originally.
Yes, we did.
And you know, each and every week you're going to get a different guest from a different walk of life with a different life experience. Sometimes they're going to be funny. Sometimes they're going to be heartbreaking. And we hope they're always going to be thought-provoking.
That's right. You know, the other thing I want to remind people of is that Houston is a huge city, but you can also hear us if you're in Livingston on 90.3, and you can hear us, Galveston? Yeah, Galveston, you can hear us on 89.5, Livingston 90.3, and you can hear us here at KPFT. Next week, our fearless leader, Hank Rubicek, will be back in the hot seat, and he is going to have hosting a show with Deepal Kilawala. Hank, are you still somewhere around in the vicinity?
I am.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about the show?
Well, Deepal is from India, and she is a marvelous storyteller. She has some trepidation about being on the show, and that's why I think she's going to be great, because she has a great story to tell, and it'll unfold very naturally, and I think people are really going to enjoy it very, very much, and it'll be a lot of fun getting back in the saddle again, so to speak. And we do have somebody to thank. Tom and Jackie gave a very, very beautiful, generous donation, dear friends of mine. And Jackie works for Exxon, so despite the fact that this is listener sponsored, Exxon is a real fan, believe it or not, of KPFT.
Good.
At least some of the people are, and they're going to match her pledge.
Wonderful.
So we're going to double that.
But hey, and if you're out there listening, if you work for a company that matches pledges, please consider donating, and realize that whatever you donate is going to be doubled by your company.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. The kind of journeys that we take people on every week is pretty indescribable, and those who have listened to the show time and time again are amazed at the talent and the insights of people in this community, and we have some wonderful shows coming up. We've got some kids from Johnson Middle School coming up. We've got some wonderful, poignant stories in May and June. I know that Warren Holloman, our other host, has got a few wonderful things. Greg, you do. This is a very unique show, and we need to keep it alive at 713-526-5738. You know, despite the fact that we don't get paid, nobody calls up and says, you know, what do you expect from these people? It's a lousy show, but then again, they're not paid. You want greatness, you want excellence, and we try to give it to you, and we just need your help to keep that going.
Or at least to keep people like me and Greg off the streets. Right?
Absolutely.
Doing
well,
something
that's
constructive.
Thing. That's another issue. I
know. That's a whole other
can of worms. Probation officers
exactly.
are out here right now.
That's right. You know, I think it's interesting to me that as hosts of this show, we kind of cover the gamut of a therapist, a lawyer, a professor, a rabbi. I'm not
walked into a bar.
Exactly. It sounds like a joke. Definitely, it is a joke. Some nights it's a joke. The joke is on us. But I don't think that there are many other stations that have the room or the interest in combining the vision of for different people like us either. I mean, I think that's the other unique thing is that KPFT is the kind of station that's run by people who work in the community and live in this community and aren't just devoted to journalism.
Absolutely. And you know, I'll tell you what, in addition to donating to KPFT and to So What's Your Story, which I hope you'll do, I hope anyone who is moved by this story will take a few minutes to think about a kid in your world that maybe you could do something for. Maybe it's taking them out to lunch. Maybe it's talking to them about their homework. Maybe it's asking them what's going on. And maybe it's telling them that they're screwing up. But I guarantee you, you know, if you're living a full life, then there is a child who will benefit from your life experience and your concern.
Yeah, I think actually maybe when we were kids, it happened more. My parents always had sort of extra people around. I feel like we don't have that as much anymore. And the reality is that, you know, no family is 100% functional 100% of the time. There can be people who have terrific families, but they're going through something or whatever. So I think being a supportive community member is just critical.
And I guarantee you, people, you know, I have a lot of kids in my life that I try to be that person for. And it's obvious to everyone what the adult gives to the kid. But what you don't see is what that kid gives to the adult. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I leave every meeting with a kid I'm involved with happier, feeling more satisfied and like a more complete human being than I would if I just spent one more afternoon sitting on my couch staring at the TV.
And at the very least, it's thoroughly entertaining usually.
Thoroughly entertaining.
Yes, thoroughly entertaining.
The kids in my life range in age from 2.5 to 22.
Right.
And they're at every age and stage
not
in between.
Not including Hank. No, but it is
true.
I really do think that you have to develop a certain level of humor and humility when you're dealing with children.
Oh, absolutely.
One thing I've always noticed, because I've taught a lot of religious school, and teaching religious school is kind of like surfing. You just have to stay on the wave, right? Never know what's going to happen. But one thing I've always noticed is that kids give the benefit of the doubt to a person who they know really likes them.
Absolutely.
Actually wants to be with them. So I hear that story of the toothpaste set on the toothbrush. I mean, that was a family that really liked you and liked being with it, having kids. And I think you sense that. And it's amazing how far children will go to be part of the team when they sense that.
I'll tell you what, one thing the father told me also, we went out to dinner, was he said, "You are never allowed to order soda again." And in the decade since, I doubt I've had a single liter of soda. I was like, you know what?
Wow.
It made sense. This was someone that cared about me, that said something reasonable. He explained why.
Yeah.
And that was all I needed.
Okay, I don't want to burst your bubble, but that doesn't usually work that easily with those parents. But maybe if this guy could come to my house and say to my children something like, "No more soda," if it worked like that.
Yeah. You heard about the kid who put his father in the refrigerator because he wanted cold pop. You
didn't know.
God. This is why. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's where we're going, folks.
Right.
It's
amazing that I have a PhD. It's just totally amazing.
We haven't actually seen the PhD, but we take your word for it.
Take your word for it.
I got it. I got it at Sears. Yeah.
I know it. Mm-hmm. Well, we are almost ready to wrap things up here, unfortunately, but we want you to give us a call because there are people here all the time. And actually, that's one of the nice things about KPFT. It is sort of like a light on, a porch light on.
Absolutely.
Call anytime. We're always up.
We're always awake. Exactly.
And Laura, thank you for hosting me. It was nice to have to be in the guest chair after a long time and have the responsibility on your shoulders.
That's right.
I'll be back in that chair in a couple of weeks.
I'm the token female, remember?
No, you're not a token anything.
I'm no token.
You're exactly. Not a token.
Well, Scooter is up next with Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day. And while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m.
We'll be here.
For What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. Keep loving a great story, and we'll keep bringing them to you. On behalf of Greg, Warren, Hank, Jake, and myself, have a wonderful weekend. Be good to each other. I am Rabbi Laura Sheinkopf reminding you, on any given day, it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.